Good morning. We'll go ahead and get started. First, let me start by extending our thoughts and prayers to Representative Mark Brandenburg, who experienced a heart attack on Saturday. I did talk to Mark yesterday, and he's doing well. In fact, he's excited to get back to the Capitol and get back to work, and we wish him a speedy recovery. Thank you for joining me today. Today we wanted to share with you and with Iowans some additional information about the Iowa Education Summit that the governor and I will be holding on July 25th and the 26th here in Des Moines. The goal of the summit is to build a consensus about how to create world-class schools in Iowa. We have many fine schools and outstanding educators, but the fact is Iowa has slipped to the middle of the rankings of the only national test taken by fourth and eighth grade students in every single state. So the focus of the summit will focus on three key pieces of school reform. The first one will be to help teachers and principals be more effective. The second one will be to raise academic standards and put in place strong matching assessments to measure those. And the third will be how to use innovation to help students learn more, from including education technology and competency-based learning, among many other things. Much of the planning is still a work in progress, but we do have some additional details that we would like to share with you this morning. Earlier this month, we did announce that U.S. Secretary Arne Duncan will be the keynote speaker on Monday, July 25th, and I am pleased to announce that Linda Darling Hammond, one of the nation's preeminent experts on teacher effectiveness, will be the key speaker on the afternoon of Monday, July 25th. Dr. Darlene Hammond is the Charles Ducommun Professor of Education at Stanford University, where she started the Stanford Center for Opportunity, Policy and Education and the School Redesign Network. Her many publications of over 200 to 300 include 210 book The Flat World and Education, How America's Commitment to Equity Will Determine Our Future, and we are thrilled to have her join us. I'm also pleased to announce that David Driscoll will be a keynote speaker for the morning of Tuesday, July 26th. Dr. Driscoll is the chair of the National Assessment Governing Board, the panel that sets policies for the National Assessment of Education Progress, or NAEP, and it is, again, the only test taken by K through 12 in every single state. He was the 22nd Commissioner of Education in Massachusetts from 1998 to 2007, and we have asked him to speak about what reforms worked in Massachusetts, which is the top performing state on the NAEP assessment, and what reforms he thinks that schools around the nation need to consider now. We are especially interested in hearing him talk about setting high standards and putting strong assessments in place, such as Massachusetts has done in their high school exit exam. And last, I am pleased to announce Vivian Stewart, Senior Advisor for the Education of Asia Society. She will be joining us at the summit to talk about why the world's high-performing school systems are successful. Her expertise include what those systems do to recruit, prepare, compensate, and evaluate top-quality teachers. For much of the past decade, Ms. Stewart was in charge of the development of the Asia Society's programs to promote the study of Asia in U.S. schools and initiatives to connect U.S. and Asian education leaders. While at the Carnegie Corporation, she helped create the National Board for Professional Teaching Standards, and we are still working to line up many of the other speakers for the summit, including many Iowans. We recognize that there is much expertise inside the state as well as outside the state, so we continue to line up the agenda and the different panels that we'll put in place for the summit. Some other activities that I want to talk to you about are some things that we'll be doing prior to the summit, some events that we are working on. And first, one of the things that we plan to do is hold education public town hall summits, meetings all across the state, so Iowans have an opportunity to make recommendations, talk about concerns that they have, and what they think should be changed to improve the quality of education in Iowa. And we also want the opportunity to share with them some of the objectives and some of the things that we hope to come out of the summit. The meetings will be held across the state. We anticipate probably 4 to 5 meetings, and we look forward to the opportunity again to sit down with Iowans face to face and talk to them about the education summit. Second, the governor and I plan to hold 3 small roundtable discussions in July before the summit, again to understand better the key issues that we face. With these panels, we intend to invite business executives and leaders to talk about qualities that they are looking for in a globally competitive workforce. In addition to that, we'll ask teachers to talk with us about what they need to be more effective in the classroom and some of the barriers that they are facing. And also, we intend to bring together higher education and K through 12 leaders to discuss why far too many of our high school students aren't ready for college or prepared for post-secondary training. We intend to release more details about the summit soon. The plan right now is to post the entire summit schedule and registration form online sometime in May, so stay tuned for that and be watching for that. The summit will be open to all Iowans. Education reform will not succeed without a broad-based consensus and participation by everybody, so we can work together to make sure that we prepare our young people to be more competitive in a global environment. And I want to end by extending a great big thank you to Linda and Jason, who have put a lot of work and effort in the summit. We are really excited about this. As we travel across the state, we've had a great deal of excitement by just a wide spectrum of individuals that are wanting to participate, attend, and be part of it. So they've put a lot of effort into this, and we're really looking forward to showcasing a premier summit this September, or this July. With that, I would be happy to address questions that you may have.
Do you think students should take a test in order to graduate?
Well, that's one of the things that we want to take a look at. That's been very effective in Massachusetts. As we indicated, they're the top scoring on the NAEP assessment test. So maybe that would be one of the strong assessments that we could put in place that would gauge that they have grasped what we intended them to learn in high school. So I think it's something that we need to take a look at, and that's one of the things that we want to talk about. Well, we continue. One of the roles that I've played as the liaison that I talked about is when we talk about our commercial property tax reduction, taxing commercial property at 60% and phasing down to that over the next 5 years. There's a lot of concern by local governments of the impact that would have on cities and counties. So I have met extensively with them to talk about the process that we put in place that we believe is a fair process to finally do something about commercial property taxes that are, you know, second highest in the nation. We've asked them to put a list together of mandates that we could take a look at that would ease some of the burdens that they're experiencing from the reduction in commercial property taxes. So one of the things, and then we'll continue to work with them over the interim to take a look at the property tax structure. But that's some of the ways that I have worked with both cities and counties. And we've met several times, and they continue to share concerns, and we continue to address them. Well, for the larger cities, the pension plan, by delaying the increase in that, that's one of the things that we need to take a look at. That's a tremendous burden to local officials. The property tax credits that we have in place, we are not fully funding them. If we're going to implement a property tax credit, then we need to fully fund that. The trade mission that we have tentatively scheduled for September is we have not canceled that at this point. We will continue to monitor the situation. We have reached out, and we will continue to reach out to our friends and allies in Japan, in addition to encouraging people throughout the state to help by donating through Red Cross to help. Through the State Department, through the Department of Economic Development, is making the contact. We are also, yeah. Well, I can. Is that who we've gone through? Okay, Department of Economic, and specifically, we've reached out through our sister state in Japan. Not that I am aware of. I am not privileged to that right at this point. As far as we know, it still is.
speakers for this summit is to come to talk about why the world's high-performing school systems are successful. Is this sort of a swallowing our pride summit in the sense that I don't need to go around telling other people that now all of a sudden we've got to have people come here and tell us how to run a successful education system?
Well, no, we want to restore our leadership position in education. We want to, again, be first in the nation in leading reform. And I think not only Iowa educators, but families, they're paying attention to the education system and the fact that Iowa has fallen to the middle of the pack, in addition to the nation. So anytime that you want to excel and make yourself better, the best thing to do is to surround yourself with various options and alternatives and different ways that you can recreate the system to make us more competitive and to make us to make our students eligible to compete globally in the workforce and in the economy. Well, we continue to get positive reports from opportunities to bring business into the state of Iowa. The governor sent out 700 letters. We are going through those, making follow-up calls with Director Durham, and then all three of us will continue to follow up to encourage those businesses to relocate in Iowa. But it continues to be a process. We continue to work on it, and we will continue those efforts to bring business to Iowa. We've had great opportunities at each different, you know, as we've done the jobs tour across the state. I've been impressed with the governor makes calls as we're traveling to various businesses, encouraging them. They located the business in Sioux City. We have other opportunities that we're looking at in Davenport. So we continue to make the calls. We continue to reach out. We continue to market the state. And we can continue to drive our legislative process that we believe will create the environment that we need to bring those jobs and to locate those businesses in Iowa. For Iowa to be competitive, we need to do exactly what we're talking about, and that's reduce the commercial property taxes, reduce the corporate tax rate, and to be more competitive to drive those businesses to Iowa, and that's what we intend to do.
What's the status of the effort to get the nonprofit part of the Economic Development Partnership organized? Does that all have to wait for the legislation to pass, or are there things that we can do?
Well, I think, you know, Director Durham is working on that now, putting things in place. She continues to review all of the different incentives and programs are in place, doing cost-benefit analysis on those. That's something that can continue to get price in addition to laying the groundwork to move to the new Iowa Public Partnership, the private and non-and corporate or authority that we'll put in place. So she can continue to lay the framework for that, and then we'll continue to work with legislators to address any concerns that they may have in order to move the IPEP forward. Well, I think that we need to continue to look at all forms of renewable energy. All of them have various forms of concerns with them. They don't happen overnight. It's a 7 to 8 year process in order to move towards nuclear production. But I think we need to continue to look at all alternative fuels, and that's one of them. And we're doing it in a thoughtful and sustainable manner as we move forward with looking at opportunities to provide additional sources. No, I think we continue to move forward with it. We started this process last year through legislation. We're taking it to the next step this year. As I indicated, it's a 7 to 8 year process, and we want to make sure that we take into account all the concerns with any other form of alternative energy, not just nuclear. Yeah.
You don't think that's going to happen?
No, I hope not. I think it's a different day. Technology is different. We're looking at smaller facilities across the state of Iowa, so there's a lot of opportunity there, and we need to continually research that, take a look at it. You need to do it in a systematic, thoughtful manner, but it's a form of alternative energy that we need to look at to reduce our dependence on foreign oil.
Does the administration stand by its selection of Isaiah McGee as director of the Department of Human Rights, despite the controversy he saw in himself?
We do. We selected him. We have full confidence in Director McGee. He is our understanding. He's meeting with the individual senators now to address any concerns that they may have, and that's the process that needs to take place, and he is moving forward with that. He needs to sit down with them, talk to them about his objectives, and we have confidence that he'll be fine. I think the governor's been fairly clear on that, if the bill does come to his desk, he would sign it.
Okay.